Starting recording. So, hi, welcome to my reproductivity podcast. I am here today with Kara Buckley. Is that how you say your name?
That's right. You got it.
Awesome. And, you know, I have shared on this podcast that I'm a parent of two kids, age 1 and 3. And I just wanted to, you know, preface the podcast with I'm under the understanding that you're a parent, but there's no need to share ages, names, genders, or anything like that with the general public unless you feel comfortable. But I assume that you feel comfortable sharing that you're a parent. And then beyond that, it's just up to your personal comfort level.
Perfect. That's super forgiving. And I'm the parent of two children. I have a son who is 4 and a daughter who's 1.
Wow, so like super similar ages. And I know that, you know, one of the big mix-ups in terms of our kind of life has been the pandemic wrench as parents. And something that I was chatting to myself prior to your call, thank you for calling, was I called this podcast reproductivity because it's regarding productivity and changing relationship with it. And, you know, just with the course of world history that we're living through, you know, in the past few years with the pandemic and climate change and, you know, now additional wars on the horizon and that sort of thing, it seems, you know, just a time to take a step back and wonder how we're doing anything at all in our day-to-day lives. But I was reflecting that for me, sometimes the kind of productivity part of the reproductivity is, you know, an aspirational, you know, what's the future going to be, as well as, you know, kind of self-care in terms of my hobbies. So, you know, maybe the first question for conversation is, how is your kind of relationship with productivity, whether that's work or hobbies or, you know, things outside of your family in terms of what brings you meaning, changed over the course of the past couple of years due to our post-precedented times?
It's a great question, and I'd love to hear the way you're thinking about it too, because from what I know, you seem like one of the most productive and curious people that I've, you know, had the pleasure of connecting with and following, and so I'd love to hear from you too. I think for me, I found a lot of purpose in my work and connection through my work, especially as the pandemic started, and even I think through, I'd probably say even like the end of last year. And so I actually felt kind of hyper productive in a way that was maybe over the top, because I wanted to at home. I was pregnant. I had ages with similar age kids. And for me during that time, it those can be kind of lonely or like ideally times when you're surrounded by people you care about. And during the pandemic, they were kind of especially lonely. So I found I poured myself, my energy into work and had really amazing opportunities come up that I kept just saying yes to. And then I think what happened is at the end of the year last year, it kind of hit a wall that surprised me a little bit. And I think it was very mental, where, you know, my kids, they were sick for a couple of weeks with what wasn't COVID. Then we went into, you know, quarantines and school closures in January. And things kind of, I started questioning things more. I think I had just been heads down for a long time. And I think it's been both healthy and kind of surprising to me to see the last few months.
I kind of, that resonates with me so much because, you know, I've had even that kind of existential almost relationship with productivity, kind of hands down, heads down to like, what is this even for kind of moment in the past few months? You know, I think when I originally started this podcast, which was also during the pandemic, you know, I had a, you know, of course, productivity is good. Kind of, you know, that's a just universally good thing, right? Be more productive. And then, you know, I also had a huge time of growth professionally and various things. And then even coming back to this podcast after not having recorded episodes for a while, I was like, I have to even pitch productivity in a new light because I can't even say that this is a good thing anymore. Should people be more productive or should they just like stare at a wall and hug their children?
Yeah. I can relate to that. Yeah. And I think like finding meaning for me, it's realizing that I'm finding meaning in things that have surprised me that are not just work. And I think some of that is really good for me. Somebody who's just spent so much time like heads down working. And so like for me, you know, one of the things about school being closed was starting to teach my son math, and that has been my favorite. I've been happiest doing that, and I'm happiest talking about that way more than I am talking about some of the work I'm doing. And so it's interesting to kind of listen to where your energy, you know, comes from these days, and in surprising ways, I think.
Yeah, and then in some sense, I don't know what your experience was in the early pandemic, so like 2020, we were, I think, each at one kid by then, but was your single kid in some sort of childcare situation or, you know, also kind of at home school closure style?
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, my husband and I were both working full time and trying to take shifts for far too long. We luckily had my parents nearby and they were absolutely wonderful a couple days a week. They started helping too, which was absolutely a lifesaver as things kind of went on longer than we expected. But now my son, you know, he was 2 and 3 years old. And were you, how about you?
Yeah, the same. We took our first out of daycare, you know, also out of an abundance of caution because I was pregnant at the time with our second. In March of 2020, and then we were doing the shift kind of thing. And at the time, I was like really grateful for the opportunity to not have to go anywhere while being pregnant and extra tired while being able to work and have my coworkers be extra generous. I think we're all in that spirit, and then spend a lot of time with my, you know, 18-month-old then, who had previously been in daycare full time. But I've gotten kind of full circle in that now, you know, with my second, I'm so grateful that they're both in daycare at the moment. And, you know, we did have some in-home childcare for a while as well, but it's just something like they're both out of the house today. And I'm so delighted to see them at the end of the day kind of interaction. So now that we've both done this little existential kind of, what is our relationship with productivity kind of mode of the pandemic? And it's really interesting to hear, you know, the parallels between our experiences and like the reactions at the various kind of stages of this post-pandemic world. Something that I went back and did recently was like a values workshop with Lucianne Walkowitz, who's an astronomer, but also an activist. And she had kind of a align your values with your work or making a decision workshop. And, you know, I think when I last recorded an episode of this, I was saying that I was in the workshop, and then now I've done the workshop, and I like found my four core values and all sorts of things like that. But I thought that that was really interesting and a lens that I'm kind of applying to some of my personal activities right now. And one of my four core values was achievement, which in terms of the workshop was slightly unique in terms of all the other people at astronomy base. A lot of other people and my other values are a little fuzzier, but achievement is also like partially like an external thing where people are like, good job, gold star, you know, that sort of stuff. Yes. And so, you know, I also value like, you know, monetary achievement and other things like that. And so that was part of my relationship to productivity historically. And it was interesting to see that show up as, you know, my core value. But sometimes I've been thinking lately, like, you know, it doesn't really matter if you get a gold star. Like, ultimately, you know, my other values are like meaning and discovery and stuff like that, where it's like, maybe I should actively ask the achievement value to sit down for a while.
I can relate to that one a bit. And I feel like it's so hard because I really value, you know, things like the job title or, right, like these things that I'm trying to also coach myself and say, gosh, if I can focus more on the impact or the learning process or, you know, like kind of get away from, it's kind of like the growth mindset idea, right? Like I want to coach myself also to get away from the result and focus more on the process of getting there. But it's a hard one to unlearn. I don't know if it's something that's generational or cultural, but I can relate to that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, part of the workshop was like then after you did the exercise of identifying it, going and like writing paragraphs about like where you think it came from and that sort of thing. And so I do think that, you know, a lot of my achievement stuff came from stuff that I went through as a child. And it makes a lot of sense historically. But sometimes you can say that, you know, that is something that I don't necessarily need right now. That's kind of history. But, you know, I do feel like my achievement value has brought me a lot in terms of serving my other values too. It's like, had I put that to the backseat, then I might not have the freedom right now to do all the other things that I'm doing.
Yes, I completely agree. I can relate to that too. I've moved into, like consulting in my career, and I think there's great things about it, and there's things that I don't necessarily enjoy as much as I thought I might, but the ability to kind of pick who you work with and what you work on has been, and when you work, those have been some freedoms that have been really interesting kind of experiments for me over the last couple of years. And you're right, like also just really lucky to be able to do that based on achievement that I've had in the past too.
Yeah, so my reinterpretation of productivity in the last few months has just been like the things that I do outside of work are more like less focusing on like gold star, or like external recognition, but more focusing on like these are things that, yes, they're achievement based, but they're kind of like internal like goals for myself and not external. And they're just kind of things that bring me joy in terms of, okay, so I want to do, you know, this many miles or, you know, this many pages or that sort of thing. Goals that I enjoy working towards just for the sake of it. And that help motivate me to take time to do things that I enjoy. And then at work, I'm like, you know, I'm not sure what's next at work, but I am currently working on some like very aspirational projects that are scientific and inspirational in nature. And so for me, it's, you know, less impactful on a like day-to-day scale for people, but it is a good kind of place for me to be while I figure out whether I want to move into working in an area or volunteering in an area that has kind of a nearer term impact. Because I feel a lot of like, I don't know, kind of helplessness in terms of this scenario that we find ourselves in this global change and, you know, bringing it back to parenting, like the world that we've brought our kids into where, you know, they have to deal with all these things that I now reflect in my childhood just were never worries that may be huge worries for them and what to do about that. Do you have any thoughts on like, you know, the context of what you're working on in terms of having kids and whether that has, especially as you see them grow up and the world changing around us, impacted where you want to put your energy kind of professionally, I guess?
Hugely. And as I hear you talking, I was also thinking about just how your own mindset shift has affected your parenting. I think for me, I have really anchored my career on dreams I had as like a young teenager. I realized, which I don't think I explicitly knew as much until the last few years. And I feel very lucky that I've been able to do what I have in my career, but I also, I really kind of feel myself lifting my head up again in a way that I kind of want to honestly like take a step back and think about really deliberately where I want to put my time and my energy. I think I talk to other parents who similarly feel that way. And what's interesting is it's across totally different industries. You know, for me, you know, growing up and working in sports was just the most interesting and coolest thing I thought I could do. And it's been super fun, and I've absolutely loved the experiences and the international connections, especially that I've made. But finding like meaning and purpose in that work is something that I feel there's great benefit. I think, you know, you need entertainment and fun and, you know, the promotion of healthy lifestyles. But, you know, I think a lot of people are searching for this meaning, especially as parents, when you know that your time that you're spending working is time when you're not with your kids, or you want, ideally, when schools are not closed, right, you're able to set those boundaries, and you want that time to be really important and valuable so that you're pouring your energy into something that your kids will be proud of you to do too. And what's interesting is, you know, for me, just working in sports, I feel that way. And to me, it seems a little bit obvious, like, well, sure, there might not be as much depth and meaning, and, you know, you're not solving world problems. But, you know, my brother-in-law, who just left his career as like an EMT firefighter, also felt that way.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so talking to him about that, and friends of mine who work in the medical field as doctors or nurses, you know, he was the phone call. Like, you were having the worst day of your life, and he was the one there to help you. And I would have imagined he would find great meaning in that, but for a lot of reasons, he didn't feel like he was actually improving people's lives. He was just trying to help them get through that worst day. But he wasn't actually changing, you know, and it was just so interesting to me, because I would think, if anyone in the world, right, it's that 911 call, right?
Especially right now, you know, like if you're like, what are you doing to help the world? And one of the major crises the world is facing right now is health related. But yeah, that is really interesting. And I think, you know, it is one of those things where, you know, even in health, you feel like, okay, maybe your perspective is too narrow, but then you go to a broad perspective and you're like, well, maybe this is too broad. And it's like, problems that we're facing right now are more than one individual. So no matter where we are in the chain of, you know, humanity, it seems like you feel like this is not enough.
Yep, that's totally right. How does that make you feel? I mean, I've just followed some of the amazing work that you've been doing over the last year, especially with Mars. And it just seems to me like there would be so much meaning and groundbreaking, like, pride and achievement in what you've been doing. But I'm curious about your take and how that's shifted.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it is probably like the same feeling with sports, in that I feel like it brings people a lot of joy and inspiration and in some senses even entertainment. But because it's such this aspirational field, it's like, well, if the rock on Mars stays there for another 4 years, that's not going to help us through our current crisis. So, you know, the meaning is kind of second order, where, you know, inspiring the next generation to pursue STEM careers, inspiring our society to invest in a variety of different things that aren't of pressing need, but also to have kind of a balanced portfolio where some of the things are these really, you know, this is what it means to be human. And let's spend some cycles on that, because otherwise we'll just get so depressed we're not going to be able to address these, you know, immediately pressing problems, the bear chasing us, because we'll have an existential crisis in the middle of our run. But it just does. And I think especially with climate change, and, you know, my husband's now working on his climate change startup, and it's a startup and it's climate change. So it seems like the combination of, like, well, he's found his thing, where he's found like an intersection with his ability to make change in the world and a really pressing problem and like startup money. You know, it's like, you know, the perfect triad where, you know, I've been kind of mentally searching, is there something that's like more pressing that I could work on? And I just haven't found it. Like, I love working at startups, but for me, 90, you know, a lot of them are just not solving the pressing problem that would, you know, take me away from this aspirational work. And then my intersection of skills, you know, I love doing computer work, so it's not as much as the climate change stuff that my husband's doing, which is super hands-on and awesome for him.
Yeah. I think, and does he feel that way, like, as well? Like, does he feel like, hey, I've really found kind of this intersection, or
I think he does, but it's also kind of new. You know, he used to work in space, you know, even at JPL, we were both working at the same company, and he kind of, you know, gradually in the course of the pandemic, you know, had the idea and then jumped ship sort of thing. So I think he's still in the honeymoon phase. He definitely does, you know, demonstratively feel, you know, it's more important than Mars at the moment, because he was kind of in my shoes and jumped ship. But again, it's one of those things where when you work at anything for a while, I think then, you know, we're seeing, you know, with your brother or other folks where whatever your field is in, you have this like take a step back and, you know, put that in the context of, you know, what's happening in Ukraine right now. And it's like, well, is climate change even the most pressing problem? Like, ah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's fascinating. I think it's so interesting to see kind of as people learn and grow and change throughout this, right? My husband also is working on a startup, and I think has found kind of like, I think you put it really well, right? Finding that mix of your own abilities and kind of what you can bring, but also what's needed, right? Whether it's technology or climate change, and his is banking. You know, trying to create something innovative and different and push the needle on what's possible in a field that he knows. And so it's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting to see these threads as you kind of look backwards and understand how we can build those looking forward, right? I'm curious, how do you think that has affected your experiences affecting you as a parent? Like, how do you think, like, do you think your kids have a sense? Or do you talk about this with your kids? I know 3 and 1, right?
So yeah.
They're young.
Well, definitely the 3-year-old is, I think he hears, you know, us at the dinner table talking a lot about space. So they are always, you know, practicing, you know, rocket flying and this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And even the climate change stuff is a little harder to get your head around as a young kid. So in that sense, it's like almost a little too abstract, but we were having like the conversation on the way to preschool the other day because, you know, we drive by JPL and then my kid asks, you know, sometimes, are you a scientist? Yes. Is daddy a scientist? Yes. Do you work at JPL? Well, I do. Daddy used to. Where does daddy work now? You know, and then I'm taking through my kid on the complexity of climate change and like, you know, the world is getting hotter and it's giving the world an owie and the temperature is going up. It's like when you have a temperature and, you know, some things are dying and then they're asking all these questions and it's kind of hard to get your head around, whereas like playing rockets is a lot easier.
Yes. Yeah. And then what's cool is like, and then you just, I don't know, as a parent, I'm always kind of surprised sometimes of what things stick or what they do pick up that I didn't realize, you know, was going to stick. I think, I don't know if you've had this experience. The other thing that's been interesting the last couple of years with young kids is in those times of isolation with young kids, they're kind of naive to what life might look like otherwise. Sometimes I think as you get a little bit older, you do definitely like miss, you know, the opportunities, and luckily we're getting back to normal. But my son, just as a 4-year-old, like doesn't really know, you know, or didn't know when schools were closed that life was any different. And, you know, I don't think I would homeschool, but I never really thought I would enjoy so much like being able to just follow his direction on what he was interested in and what he wanted to spend the day learning about. And I think I finally gave myself permission to not work when schools were closed and not try to do, I think you even tweeted this. Actually.
Yeah. Not try to do the double duty where I was like, you know,
right.
Just recognizing that it was a wave and, you know, previously we had to do the split shift and now we can kind of just say, you know, this is temporary and let's just take the time and focus on, you know, what we can make the best out of this.
Yes. And I was able, it was really stressful. Like January was pretty stressful, but there were moments that I look back and I loved some of those moments together. And honestly, it was, you know, he just he discovered numbers. And this was, I think, I don't know if he fed off of my enthusiasm because I was enjoying it so much too. But he also kind of just got really fixated on this, and this just, it just became our thing when school was closed. And so it almost became like, oh, this is cool. Yeah. We're home from school again, but we get to do, you know, we get to do math. I don't know. So there was like this weird silver lining and like, almost like enjoy this time because we know it's going to end and life's going to get back to normal again. And we know it's going to happen soon, not, you know,
indefinitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's at least, you know, the world does feel different now, than it did in 2020. In some senses, like we are just stumbling around in the dark and now we can see the monster sort of thing. So it's a little scarier now because like we can see the monster and then it's not going to go away. But also like, we can see how big it is. We can see how to avoid it. You know, like there's a lot more knowns now than unknowns. So it's just kind of a different, more like fatigue now than like, at least from our perspective, because we're thankful not to have, you know, an immunocompromised situation. You know, I'm thankful not to be pregnant anymore. There was a lot of uncertainty around COVID and pregnancy. And, you know, I think it's clear by now that it's worse in pregnancy. But at the time, it was like, I remember looking at the, trying to extrapolate from data from like MERS and SARS in 2020, like, is this going to kill me for sure if I get it or just maybe?
And we didn't, that was the best information we had, right? We just didn't know. And back then cases, at least in my town, were so, so low compared to what they've been. But we just didn't know. But yeah, I can very much relate to that. I don't know, like, about like the stress piece of this too. I think that's the other piece I'm finally giving myself permission to process a little bit is, just have like, how this stress has affected everything and trying to be gentle, you know, with myself and other people. It's just, I think the kids vaccine getting pushed back too has been another mental trip.
My God. Where you're like, okay, I can wait till January. And then in January, they're going to have their first shot. And then you're like, well, in February. And then in February, they're like, in April. And you're like, April is a year from now, even though it's not. It's just, I think it's especially almost infuriating when you kind of look at the data and it just, especially for the younger kids, I think, because the 6 month to 2 year old bracket looked like it was ready to go. And so why lump them all together? You know, that sort of stuff. At least let my younger kid get the shot.
Exactly.
Or, like, if it's just a placebo, let's give them the placebo and then have them come back to the physician to get that other dose. Like,
put us in the trial at the stage. Oh, yeah.
Or, like, why didn't you – this is the most pressing – this is the rant part, by the way, guys. This is the most, like, pressing part of the pandemic. Like, why not just run, like, 7 parallel trials and increment the dose by, like, 1 milligram, you know, or however much? Like,
yes. But is there a reason that wasn't done? Like, have you come across any reason why?
I haven't looked into it more in depth other than like raging against it. The only thing I could think of is that, you know, the trial was run by a private company and maybe it costs money to run a trial and it's X dollars per dosage. And so, but why we didn't as a nation just say like, here's $1 billion, run all the trials. We're going to approve the vaccine, whatever one looks the best. We know it's not dangerous. So just figure out the right dose with the right granularity, and here's all the money, and then we'll vaccinate everyone afterwards. We already have the doses kind of thing. Like,
yep.
But I'm not a medical professional. That's just like me. Ugh. But yeah, my kids, I think once my kids can be vaccinated, it'll be the vibe shift in our household. But still, like, keeping in mind that vibe shift is happening like differently throughout our society, and it's going to change with the different waves and the different variations and variants, and it's not ever going to happen for some people like ever again. Like, there's just been kind of a line that was crossed. Like, I can imagine you have certain types of, you know, immunocompromisations, like this just being like, okay, this is what life is like forever.
Yes,
kind of thing.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's just, it's a lot. And I've been thinking, like, should I be working in biology? You know, maybe that's where I need to go.
Fascinating. Well, okay, so then I'm curious to ask you, like, what does that exploration look like? And I guess as a two-part question, I don't know. Well, I guess let's just start there. What does that exploration look like for you as you're kind of poking around at what might be next?
So for me, next, I think, is a longer time frame. So, you know, if my boss is listening, don't be nervous. Like, for me, it's like, I've kind of reached a place where I know I'm going to be super happy for the next however many years, but I don't see anywhere to go, like, sideways or up at the place that I am right now. And so after that, I could see leaving for some external place to just gain more skills and insights. And for me, you know, the thing that always brings me, like, great focus and joy, independent of the what I'm working on, is, like, computer programming and interfacing with computers. So it would be something to do with that. And I also have done, like, a lot of leadership now, and I'm running a program that's, you know, has a $40 million budget and lots of employees and that sort of stuff. And so, you know, wherever I went next, I could see it being, like, a new discipline, something to do with, you know, using computers to address an important problem, and then probably in kind of a leadership or, like, path to leadership role. So maybe, like, a startup that goes through that early stage to later stage transition. And then I get to experience that whole kind of train ride where I know that my destination is kind of at that, like, leadership stage, but that I'm going to go through that kind of deep tech stage as well. So for me, it's just, like, keeping an eye out for a problem that excites me. And that's been, you know, kind of depressing, because the big problems that excite me right now are just, like, these really overwhelming problems that you can't solve at anything but, like, a political scale. It's like, there's not, like, bite-sized chunks to a lot of this, so... Mm-hmm. That's what it's looking like for me. And then I'll ask what it's looking like for you, and then kind of close it off, because I do like to keep this to a not overwhelming length of time.
Very fair. I just realized how much time is
No, I don't mean for the podcast. I just mean for folks, because I like to encourage people, like, call me back. I promise I won't talk your ear off for 5 hours.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think it's really fun to hear, you know, how different people are thinking about it. I think for me, I had an anchor to deliver a project I'm working on for the Olympics and the Paralympics, which are coming up pretty soon. And that, I think I feel so lucky that I could have opportunities to continue down that path and working on similar projects. But I, and again, this isn't something I have, really publicly shared yet, but I think I am, excited to deliver, on what I've been working on. And then I am also thinking about, you know, one of the beauties of consulting is kind of the ebb and the flow. You know, there are bursts of, really busy times and then, slower times. And I've been very lucky that it's been a burst of, a couple years of just project after project. And I think I'm looking for a little headspace to consider what work might look like next. And I don't think it's going to be in sports, and that kind of scares me, because that's an area that I have confidence and a network and leadership opportunities. And it's, kind of scary, you know, sometimes to say no to opportunities when you might not know what else is around the corner, but I am really energized by learning. And, I think, I don't know, I'm excited to also think about how my skills could have impact in other ways. And I like hearing what you're saying about leadership opportunities and startups. You know, I think I have a government phase in my life at some stage. I'm not sure if that's right now or if that's 20 years down the road, but, I'm excited to kind of explore. Teaching my son math has been super fun. I don't know what that means. I'm excited to kind of explore, what that might look like and let myself maybe be surprised, what's to come.
Yeah. And are you thinking of, like, taking, you know, you mentioned ebb and flow, like, some space to kind of give yourself permission to, like, see what happens sort of thing?
I think so. I think I might be. I have really wanted to like finish the contracts I'm on. And so, I'm not exactly sure how that will all line up, but, I'm kind of thinking that, and I have to say that's a part of the whole, this whole thing that kind of scares me is like, I don't know, I've done this before. I've taken like a career break before, but I think I've seen like, I'm afraid of this whole like ambition waning thing. Cause it has been 2 years of cranking and, I'm seeing it slowing down, and I don't know if I'm just getting at the end of like two Olympic games back to back. And maybe that's a little bit natural, but, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. It kind of, I'm listening to it, but I'm also, I don't want to lose like bigger, you know?
Yeah. Like if you slow down the train, are you going to be able to like start it back up sort of thing?
Kind of. Yeah, exactly. And like stay connected and build that community. I was part of this group, which was really lovely, called South Park Commons in San Francisco. Have you heard of?
I haven't, no.
They're, I think they've gone virtual now, but was a physical community space for folks building new companies and kind of launching like new ambitious ventures. And it was just a really wonderful community of a lot of people who had run startups before, really ambitious and curious people. So a lot of people reading academic papers and topics that they wanted to learn more about. And they kind of tout themselves now as it's really like nice of going from -1 to 0, right? Instead of 0 to 1. And they have great lectures and there's just access to people who are just so, so giving of their time as people are kind of exploring what to build and launch next. And so that might be a community I kind of plug back into a little bit, people from all different backgrounds. And, you know, I'd be curious if you'd ever be interested in sharing your own experience with that network as well. As you know, there's a lot of other parents, and I think people would find your perspective really interesting. So I'll just plant that seed as you're continuing to explore. If you'd ever consider doing a talk with that group, I think you'd enjoy meeting the people, and they'd love hearing your story too.
Totally. Yeah, that sounds really interesting. And then also a good point that like the communities we're a part of can make a big difference in how we feel about those next steps. I'm now just thinking about, I did go through that transition from my 20s to my 30s, where my 20s, I was kind of doing everything all at once. And in my 30s, I decided I was going to have kind of more strict boundaries between work I did for money and, you know, work or other things I did for not money. Previously when I was doing consulting or even kind of startup work, it literally felt, and I really enjoyed making money, but it felt like if I took any time for myself that like I could see like just the dollars like going down a drain before my eyes. Cause I knew, you know, just every 5 minutes that I spent resulted in just so much more for the businesses that I was working with. I transitioned to a world where, you know, I really deliberately set myself up in a situation where it was like, okay, there's these many hours and these are your money hours and these are the hours where they're not your money hours. And transitioning to that world, I felt like I thought I could do it overnight, but it took me like more than a year to like extricate myself from my businesses and like either shutter them or transition them or like deliver the product and move on. And then it really felt like, you know, this train that I had to slow down to go at the speed that I went at my 30s, which people still think I'm doing great things. But to be honest, it's like a much slower speed. And then now that I'm going through this reflection, I'm like, does this mean in my 40s, like I want to be walking instead of on the train? Like, is that what we're doing here? You know, so that really resonated to me when you said that, in terms of like, you don't know whether this is like a shift to a period of less ambition or whether it's a shift to a period of like great ambition, but different focus.
Right. And I think I need to find that fire, because I really like that. I want that for me. I want it to be the latter. I want to be, you know, energized and deliberate about what I'm doing. I think through like what has given me that energy. And there's a couple other things as I hear you talk about exploring too, that I'm excited to look at. One is, have you come across 80,000 hours before, the book or the series of blog posts that they've published?
I haven't, but is that one of the, like, hours to reach mastery concepts? I don't know if I've run across the, like, concept before even, or I'm not sure.
It's this idea that, like, you know, if I think this is how they calculated, right? In your career, if, you know, if you work full-time for 40 years, you'll work 80,000 hours, right? It's kind of like the premise.
Yeah.
And so you have this budget, right, of time that you give to your career. And so how can you spend that time on things that are the most impactful, right? And there's different philosophies. There's, and there's just, it's kind of, you know, tangential to, like, the effective altruism community. But it's just this really great, community of people thinking about how to have the most impact with their career. And they actually, I finally did career coaching. So I got a session. It's scheduled for like a month from now because they're pretty booked up, but that's another one that I'm excited, you know, and they kind of help you think through, you know, what your areas of expertise are and what, you know, what you find important and what the world kind of needs, and help you kind of identify what might be interesting to work on.
Yeah, I love, you know, that is the first time I've kind of run across that concept. And I love kind of the reframing of work instead of something that's like paying you money. It's, you know, you have this finite budget of attention, and here they've really like quantified it into an integer number. And like you are spending those hours like from your bank whenever you work. And how do you want to spend, you know, your precious money in terms of that attention? So I propose that, like, in 6 months we have a follow-up, because I feel like that'll be really interesting to track, you know, where the pandemic, which has kind of like funneled us each through this kind of emotional and career journey that we might not have otherwise gone through, and brought us into kind of a similar kind of mental space. I'm very curious whether like our paths diverge from here, or whether we like, you know, each find that vision, I guess, for what's next. And maybe 6 months is the wrong time frame, but like I want to like, where does this story go?
Yes.
Super curious. Thank you so much for calling today. Again, no promises about the audio. This is my first try on this setup, and I think it was mostly a fail, but I did at least get the recording, and hopefully we'll process it enough so that if you want, you can feel free to link to it, and then I'll link it to you before I publish it. No obligation to listen to it, but just as a courtesy. So there you go.
It was really, really great to talk with you, and I'm looking forward to the follow-up as well. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, and happy Friday. Have a good weekend.
You too. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, Christine. Bye.